Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Serhii Plokhii. His new book is Nuclear Folly, A History of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Not once, not twice, not thrice, several times we come to the brink of nuclear exchange. Again, the weekend of Friday the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, that weekend is when the world ended. You didn't know that, did you? Well, it did as far as the imaginations of men at the Presidium in the Kremlin, men at the XCOM in Washington, even to the point of calling their families or arranging their families to get out of Washington. They had no way of stopping this. And what happens now is that Khrushchev writes letters, two letters. One is communicated in private. The other, as the professor says, is broadcast on Radio Moscow and picked up in Washington. They say different things, and they introduce the Turkey situation, the Turkey missiles. What does Khrushchev imagine he's offering?
Well, Khrushchev is in a panic. He starts backing off immediately after after Kennedy's speech, and again he turns back the ships. But he wouldn't be Khrushchev if he wouldn't try to portray his retreat as an offensive. And he also is quite mercurial in terms of how he approaches things. He can think one thing today and then change his mind tomorrow. And this is exactly what happened. So his first letter was saying that, well, if the United States agrees not to attack Cuba, we would be prepared to discuss the withdrawal of our troops from Cuba. He doesn't mention directly the missiles, but that's actually what everyone knows and has in mind. And at the moment when the Kennedy and XCOM get together to discuss that proposal, they hear news on the radio that there is a letter by Khrushchev, and they think, okay, that's the letter that they're discussing. But then there are elements of that letter that is different from the one that they're discussing now. And that new element is that Khrushchev waking up the next morning, learning that the Americans didn't attack Cuba, decided actually to ask for a different price for the withdrawal of the Soviet missiles. And that price meant also, in exchange, withdrawal of the American Jupiter missiles from Turkey, the ones that were at the beginning of the crisis when Khrushchev went to Bulgaria and a gear to put the missiles, Soviet missiles on Cuba came to his mind. So there is there is a confusion in the White House. There is a long debate. They don't know what to do with the second letter. They don't know whether Khrushchev is still in power in Moscow or not. Or maybe Khrushchev was in power and then was really removed by the military, who now were also demanding the withdrawal of the American missiles from Turkey. So they don't know what to do. It's another tense moment. And eventually they decide to respond officially to the official letter and pretend that the letter that was sent through the airwaves didn't exist. And that was done against the wishes of President Kennedy. He had to follow the advice of his executive committee. Personally, Kennedy believed that there could be no solution to the Cuban Missile Crisis unless there is an exchange of Soviet missiles in Cuba for the American missiles in Turkey. But it is very interestingly that publicly he has to follow the advice of his.
A detail about those missiles in Turkey. Those are NATO-deployed missiles. The president has not consulted with Brussels or any of his allies on these matters. Is that correct, Professor?
Absolutely. And this is a big issue, because Kennedy personally and everyone around him believed that the American missiles in Turkey are a liability, because they can be taken out during the first hours, if not minutes, of the nuclear war, because they were so close. The Soviet had enough of medium-range missiles to take them out. But they present a political problem and political challenge, because withdrawing missiles from Turkey means undermining NATO and raising questions about the American commitment to the defense of NATO, not just Turkey, but also Italy, Germany, and other countries at that time. So Kennedy is interested in terms of in military, in just strategic terms, removing those missiles, but he can't do that politically, and that's a big issue. You go on the other side of the ocean, you go to Kremlin, to Moscow. There, Khrushchev spends really zero time trying to convince Castro in anything or deal with the allies in Eastern Europe, and that actually backfires. He gets the next crisis that comes also not because of not in relations between Khrushchev and Kennedy, but in relations between Khrushchev and Castro.
It's time for Black Saturday. Saturday, October 27th, 1962. The book is Nuclear Folly, A History of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Serhii Plokhy is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.